Session number 22620, Reel 1.
Harold Brooker, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Cleethorpes.
Which year was this?
1921.
So, if you were born in Cleethorpes, how did you come to live in Hull?
Well, my father was fishing from out of Grimsby at the time. And the first 8 years of my life, I lived in Cleethorpes, Brundle Avenue, quite near the Grimsby Town Football Club.
Did both your mother and father come from Cleethorpes?
No, both from Hull.
But your father was a fisherman?
Yes, he was mate and skipper.
Which trawlers did he usually go off in?
North Sea trawlers. Out of Hull, he used to be on the Gamecock and Beecham's Boxman.
So why had he moved from Hull to Cleethorpes?
Well, it was what he called spragged for so long. And of course we stopped there 8 years.
In what way was he spragged?
I don't really know. I've never been given to understand why he was spragged. I can guess.
Would you like to say what your guess is?
Probably drink.
Was his father in trawlers as well?
Oh yes. Yeah, he lived to be 97.
So how far back does fishing go in his family?
1916. Oh, no, before then. But 1914.
So most of your growing up was in Hull rather than in Grimsby?
Oh, yes, in Hull.
Where did you go to school in Hull?
Fransaskew School.
And when you were at school, what did you want to be on leaving?
I wanted to follow in my father's footsteps. Go to sea fishing.
Is that what you did when you were there?
That's what I did. When I was 14, I left school when I was 14. That was in July 1935. And I worked in a fish house for so many weeks. And then I was laid off. So I walked straight to F&T Ross's trawler office. And signed on as a decky learner on a ship called the Arkwright. And it was skippered by a chap called Wilson. We called him Gwenny Wilson, because he was to act like a woman at times.
In what way?
Hence the name. In some of his actions, you know, he was a ladylike chap, you know.
What was he like as a skipper?
Good. Oh, very good. Yes. And of course, I left that ship. And I went on a ship called OHM, O-H-M, OHM. And we did a quick trip to Iceland, 12 days, dock, back to dock, with 900 kits of codlins. And we made £900. Those days it was good.
Why was it so good in those days?
Well, it was just a good trip. A pound a kit was a very good price. Those days. And I left that ship and I went in Pickering Albion's in a ship called the Waveflower, and I remained in there for quite some time until I was 17.
Did these various fishing firms vary in how good they were to work for?
Oh yes. Pickering and Albion's was regarded as a good firm to sail for.
In what way?
Good food and nice ships, nice clean ships, and good skippers.
What were the firms which didn't have such a good reputation then?
Lock firm, Hudson's, White's, quite a few of them. Just to name two or three.
You were talking about the food you got on fishing trips. Can you describe what you would typically get?
Oh, plenty of meat. And on the run out, the cook used to salt so much of the beef, and the rest of the beef was put down in the fish room among the ice. But we got all fresh potatoes and all such as that, you know, all fresh food. And we used to keep a lot of the fresh food down in the fish room, just like a, you know, it was like a refrigerator. But I'd say it was very good food.
Would you get enough?
Oh yeah, plenty. Plenty. We used to have plenty of fish. Fish for breakfast, fish for supper, or whenever. Fish was always on the table.
What kind of fish did you prefer to eat?
Well, I used to like both cod and haddock. But we used to get plaice and lemon soles and all different kinds of catfish, all different kinds of fish, which was all very nice and fresh. But we'd never used to, the cook never used to use fish straight out to sea. It was always the first cut. And I used to be always sent down to the fish room as a fish room man, with me being short in stature. And I could burrow, you know. And I used to go down and get the first caught fish. I fill a basket and take it aft to the cook's galley.
Why did they always serve you the first caught fish then?
Well, it used to taste better. The staler a fish is, the better it tastes. It's got no taste when it comes straight out of sea.
Did you catch any very unusual fish?
Oh yeah, yes.
What types of unusual
fish? Dogfish. And what we used to call nurse dogfish. But they weren't palatable. You couldn't eat those. But we used to catch it. Oar-kettle sharks.
What sharks?
Oar-kettle. Big oar-kettle sharks. They used to ruin our nets. But we used to catch catfish like that. Big
about
as that.
3 or 4 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Big, what we used to call big tiger cats. And big spots on them, you know.
Why did the sharks ruin the nets?
The oar kettle sharks.
What did they do to the nets?
Well, they used to break the cod end, because there was that heavy. Oh, those huge things. Longer than this room, you know. And it was a case of when you hold and you've got an oar kettle shark in your cod end, it used to be, you know, ripped. And you had to set down and repair it, mend it.
How did you mend it?
With twine. With twine or nylon.
And a needle?
In a needle, yes. Yes.
A steel needle?
Wooden needles. Wooden needles. What you call sailmaker's needles.
Was it difficult to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Were these sharks dangerous once you got them on board?
Oh, no. No. Oar kettle sharks weren't dangerous. They were just a nuisance.
So what did you do with them once you got them on board?
Slash the throats and throw them over.
Why did you kill them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, I'm sure. That was the prerogative of the mate. You know, it's nothing to do with me.
Was it the mate who gave the orders?
Yes. Yes.
What about the skipper?
Well, he was on the bridge. He was beyond the bridge. He never used to come down. He used to say, what's the proceeds from the window of the bridge?
So, when can you remember your first trip?
Oh, yeah.
Can you take me through what happened on your first trip, step by step?
I sound on the Arkwright, and on the 12th of October, 1935, and I sailed on the 13th. And I was away three weeks as a dicky learner, and I got 10 shillings a week. And I relied, I didn't get any what we used to call poundage or bonus, I used to rely, Dekulena used to rely on what you call a backhander from the members from the members of the crew. And it used to be usually half a crown from each crew member. Of course, the mate used to give us 2 half crowns. The skipper used to be maybe £1, you know, varied. And I sailed as a Dekulena until I was 17, and then I joined the Royal Navy.
What exactly does a Dekulena do?
Fill needles with twine. Well, to begin with, on what you call on the run off, he used to help the cook in the galley, peeling potatoes and all such as that. And then, if he was wanted on the deck, he used to be filling needles with twine.
You mean threading them?
Threading them, yeah. And, because when you was running off, you used to get all the nets prepared. And any that wanted repairing, I used to have to be there to fill the needles with twine. And, of course, dash down to the galley and bring a kettle of tea on deck for the crew, you know. Dekulena used to be a lackey.
Would you do any hauling in of the net?
No, not as a Dekulena.
Why not?
Well, if there was enough men, enough men to do that. And of course, they wouldn't trust a Dekulena to do anything dangerous.
Is it dangerous pulling the net in?
Very. Well, every job on a trawler was dangerous.
What's the danger in pulling the net in?
Well, when you pull the what you call the belly in, the top part, and then the belly, the mate and bosun puts what you call a snuttler round the belly part and thread it through a bobbin. And then you heave it up, you put the snottler, what you call the snottler, round the winch barrel and get it so far. Then when you got near the cod end, you used to use a gilson to put round the cod end. You used to swing the bag of fish in, and the mate used to undo this funny sort of a knot, and fish used to drop out.
What's a snottler?
It's a rope, a manila rope.
And a gelson?
That's a hook, like a crane, like a tackle.
So where does the main danger lie?
The winch wires, especially when you use what you call paying away, putting the trawl out again. You have to, what's the cable you use?
You were talking about the dangers of winching in.
Oh yes, and when you was what you call paying away, you have to be careful of the wires running along the deck through the bulbs. Sometimes the wires used to have splinters on them, and it could catch your oil frock and rip you apart.
Did you ever see accidents?
Oh yeah, plenty. I had 2 or 3 accidents myself.
Pre-war?
No. Since the war, when I came out of the Navy, I went back fishing, and I got what you call a bream-borne prick through this thumb. And they had to take me into Tromsø in Norway, where I was operated on.
How did that happen?
With this prick, poison set in. And
what had pricked you?
A bone, a bream bone. You know, these red fish. Very dangerous backbones.
Did the operation succeed?
Yes. And I had to remain ashore for 3 months until it all healed up.
How did they treat you in Tromsø?
Very good. The consul took me to the hospital from the harbour.
What was Tromsø like in those days?
Well, it was about the biggest town in Norway. Or one of the biggest towns in Norway.
And the other accidents that you mentioned?
Yes.
What was that?
That was the one.
Did you just have the one serious accident?
Yes, yes.
So, pre-war, were you mostly fishing off Iceland?
Yes, mainly Iceland.
Which parts of the coast would you go to?
Well, there was several places. We used to fish off a mountain called Snæfellsjökull. In other words, Snowy. We used to call it Snowy. There was Langeness. That was the east coast. On the west coast, there used to be Ísafjörður, Norðfjörður. I can't remember the names now. The east coast used to fish predominantly for cod and haddock, but the west coast we used to fish there for plaice and catfish.
What were the fishing grounds like pre-war off Iceland?
Prolific, very prolific.
So would you ever have a trip where you came back virtually empty-handed?
Sometimes. Yes, sometimes. Sometimes it used to be very bad fishing, bad weather. Sometimes it used to be anchored in a fjord for days. Couldn't fish it because of the weather was too bad. But at times we used to fish in some awful weather. Awful.
Such as?
Pardon?
So, what type of weather would you fish in?
A stiff breeze. And heavy rain, snow. It's all depending what time of the year.
Would you ever go to the north of Iceland?
Yes, North Cape. Oh, yeah. Fished there quite a few times.
What was the fishing like there?
Very good. You see, we used to follow the fish for miles. Because the swarms of shoals of fish used to travel extensively. It all depended where their food was, and this is why we used to travel extensively around, in and around Iceland.
Did you ever come into contact with Icelanders pre-war?
Oh yeah, we sometimes used to go in. And tie up on one of their cages, you know, whatever was fishing off. And they used to be nice to us.
So they didn't resent you being there?
No, no. But they did when they started the Cod Wars. That's when the bitterness started.
We'll come to that later, but would they be able to speak to you in English?
Yes, a lot of them did, yes.
Did you speak any Icelandic?
No. No.
Which other fishing grounds did you go to apart from Iceland pre-war?
White Sea, Greenland.
How did White Sea and Greenland compare with Iceland?
Well, Greenland, the depth of fishing wasn't so deep. But White Sea, you had a variety there. You had some ground where we used to catch plaice, and we used to, that used to be a place called May Islands, M-A-Y Islands. And when we caught so many plaice, we used to move to a place called Skonken Bank, and to fish for cod and haddock.
Did anybody interfere with you there?
No. No. It used to be very good fishing there.
Better than Iceland?
Well, it had we had different seasons. Sometimes the fishing up in White Sea used to be far better than at Iceland. So the trawlers used to converge in the White Sea as opposed to Iceland.
Who tipped you off about that?
Well, the skippers used to be on the telephone with one another.
Skippers from the same firm, you mean?
No, all ships, all different firms, you know. We sometimes used to be in touch with Scottish trawlers and, Grimsby trawlers. Sometimes we used to get very friendly with Grimsby trawlers, and some of these skippers used to tip us off where the best part of the fishing ground was, you know.
So they didn't keep secrets?
A lot of them did, but a lot of them were open-minded about where the best fishing was.
Was there any rivalry between different ports?
Not really.
What about Greenland? Can you tell me about fishing off Greenland?
It used to get a lot of bad weather there, off the Greenland coast, because with the sea not being so deep around the coast of Greenland, you used to get a storm. You used to get a storm rave up in no time at all. That was a dangerous path.
So
the weather.
Why did people go there at all if it was dangerous?
To catch fish.
Were the fish better there?
Sometimes it used to be good. Well, I only did two trips to Greenland. That was enough for me.
You didn't like it?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't like the weather.
Did you go to Grand Banks?
No, I never went to Grand Banks. No.
What about North Sea?
No. The only time I was in two or three ships where we used to have what you call a haul, and I was tow with your trawl in what you call the 40 fathom line to catch prawns, big king prawns.
You mean about 6 inches long?
Yes. Yeah.
Where's the 40 fathom line?
Just off the coast of Scotland.
To the west of Scotland?
Yeah. East of Scotland. East of Scotland.
Norwegian side of Scotland?
No. Just this side of the Pentland Firth. Somewhere around there. And we used to share these prawns. And we used to pickle them in big onion jars. They used to be beautiful.
Pickle them on board?
Pickle them on board. We were allowed to bring them home.
So, were they caught for sale?
No. We used to share them all around the crew. What we'd got, we used to share. What we got, we used to share around. Every member of the crew got practically the same.
Where was halibut caught?
In White Sea, Bear Island, Spitsbergen, Iceland.
Did they damage the nets?
No. No. We used to catch some big ones too.
How big?
15 and 20 stone.
So, there was a skipper and the first mate.
Yes.
What was the rest of the hierarchy?
Bosun. Third hand, deck hands, spare hands, deck hands.
What was the difference between deck hands and spare hands?
Well, a spare hand, it could be told to do anything. Whereas a deck hand was, I can't explain really. A spare hand was signed on to increase the number of the crew, to make up the number, so she could continue fishing.
So the deckhands were not expected to do certain jobs?
No.
What type of jobs could they avoid?
Mending the trawl, braiding with the twine and needles. Pulling the trawl in. Weren't allowed to do that.
The deckhands didn't do that?
The deckhands would do that. Deckhands,
but not the deckhands.
But not deckhands.
What was the bosun's job?
He used to take the mate's job when the mate was on his watch below, and vice versa. The mate used to do the bosun's job when it was bosun's watch below.
Did you have watches, like in the Navy?
Yes. We used to work what we call... Some ships used to work 12 on and 6 off. And other ships used to work 18 on and 6 off. It varied, it varied much. That was up to the discretion of the mate or skipper.
So you'd be on duty for 12 hours?
Yes. Sometimes 18 hours. It varies according to how the skipper wanted it.
Well, what did the third hand do?
The third hand?
Yes.
He was like a substitute bosun. He used to take things, untying the cod end when you haul the trawl in. Likewise, the bosun used to do that as well. You see, it all depended on what watches was on deck. And we used to take spells at meal times. And they used to do the same,
Did you like being a trawlerman?
No.
Why not?
Well, it was hard work. We were never dry. Apart from it being dangerous, it was too long at sea. There was some ships where I was away a month. And of course, when I got a family, I decided about time I packed it in.
What position had you risen to by the time you joined the Navy?
Oh, just deckhand.
Can you tell me about joining up, please?
I joined up at Government Building, Springbank, and I had to pass a test. And I joined as a boy seaman.
Which year was this?
Pardon?
Which year was this?
1939.
Had the war broken out?
No. April 1939.
Why did you decide to go in for the Navy?
Because I was fed up with fishing.
Did you think a war was coming at that time?
No.
Would you have joined up if you had thought a war was coming?
Yes, I think so, yes. And I did nearly 8 years in the Navy, and I came out and I wished I'd stopped in.
What did you sign on for? How many years did you sign?
7 and 5. Seven on a regular basis and 5 on the reserve.
Where did you do the basic training?
St. Vincent's, Gosport. It's a boys' establishment.
Can you describe what that was like?
Very, very strict.
In what way?
In every way.
Did you get punished?
Yes. Once or twice, we had a big mast there in St. Vincent's, and one of the punishments was climbing this mast. And you're very, very high. You climb it one side and come down at the other. That was deemed bad punishment. It was bad punishment, I thought.
You did it yourself, did you?
Oh, yeah.
What were you punished for?
Smoking.
Were you a regular smoker?
Yes. You had to sneak a smoke. Because we actually weren't allowed to smoke with me, but just being boy seaman.
How did you cope with the discipline?
In the end, all right.
Did the training do you any good?
Very good. It made a man of me.
But hadn't trawling made a man of you?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't know enough about the world, really.